Hello, Royals fans. Welcome to another podcast, Inside Athletics. I'm Dave Kings, Director of Athletics, and joined once again today by James DeBoer, our Sports Information Director. And we're glad you tuned in with us this week. We'd like to give a little recap of what's been happening as we got back into the role of school. Second semester started this week. Everybody's back in classes. We got all the athletes together again last night for Royals Night 2. Much to their displeasure, I didn't have any food, and we didn't give them another T-shirt like we did at the beginning of the year, and we didn't take a big group photo with the president. But, by the way, that reminds me, you got to make sure that photo gets up online. If it isn't online, maybe on the website somewhere, James.
Let's start splashing it. We'll do it.
We'll do that. We were going to do a Christmas card out of that, and we forgot about it, too. But it's always good to gather everybody together. To see everybody, size of the groups, supporting each other, went over a number of details with them, new things that are coming up the second semester. One of the big ones, of course, we get them together is to make sure that we can have a good way to distribute the class absence forms, which they need to give to their professors. Again, once of our ideas of how to connect athletics and academics together as well, introduce them to a few new things. So that sort of signaled the start of the second semester. We're halfway through the basketball season, so to speak, but next week's going to roll around pretty quickly, and baseball, softball, men's volleyball will all start, added to men's basketball, women's basketball, and indoor track and field. Yeah. So as I told them last night, the University Commons, I can't even imagine how we would run this place with the gym that was here when I was here, or even 12 years ago. Because from at least 4 o'clock until midnight, it will be jam-packed, all three courts, with some activity going on. Intramurals has graciously moved back to 9 to midnight, so we're trying to get all these 6 or 7 teams practicing. Now, the weather forecast calls for 70 degrees this weekend. Maybe baseball and softball will be outside. You never know. But anyway, it does signal the start of second semester. Kids readjusting to class. Certainly some kids have been gone cross-cultural. They come back trying to get settled in. It's an exciting time. As President Schwarzentruber said yesterday in his convocation address, that the one nice thing about being a part of education is you're only about 3 months away or 4 months away from a new beginning at any time. So this is always a new start, new classes. There's a lot of excitement going around. And it's the same with the athletic program as well. There's some kids that just came this semester, started at EMU this semester as part of joining an athletic team. We're looking forward to that as well. So let's look back and let's see what happened this week sports-wise. Again, the only ones really in action right now are the basketball team. So, James, why don't you start off the podcast by giving us a little bit of information about what went on over the past week.
Well, yeah, definitely. Well, the highlight of the week was Wednesday. I mean, we had a men's-women's basketball doubleheader. We don't get those very often. We have some Saturdays where we'll have an afternoon game and an evening game, but this was one session. The women played at 6, the men played at 8, hosting Washington and Lee. It was a lot of fun, and even more fun to come out with 2 wins in the night. So it was a lot of fun. Thanks to everyone who came out and responded to the whiteout messages and emails and Facebook messages. And it was nice to see that solidarity coming out, and just fun to see our crowds get bigger as the season progresses.
I will say it did look like maybe many of the adults on the far side don't get on Facebook or Twitter or something like that, because they weren't all dressed in white.
We've got to find new ways to get the message out.
That's
I guess,
true.
Right?
We'll have to do that.
it was a pretty good crowd. Still looking to break 1,000 yet, I think, this year. We haven't done that yet, but we got some pretty big matches coming up. But just talking about Wednesday, the things that was really nice to see, our women, they'd played on Monday against Elizabethtown and did not look good on offense at all in that game. Shot a season low, scored a season low. It was their lowest point total in about 2 years, I think. Well, they turned right around against a conference opponent Wednesday night and shot 50% from the floor. The game was rarely in doubt after the first couple of minutes, and the women won by 21. They led by more than that at many points, but a very solid win for the women. The bench played very well, actually outscored the starting unit. It just looked good all around, and that's the kind of play we want to see out of our women. We know they're capable of it. They played a lot that way last year. They're still trying to find their rhythm this year. But they looked very good in picking up an ODAC win, and And frankly, the ODAC wins are what matters. You know,
at this point, it's all focused in that direction.
Right. So Monday's loss was tough, but you know, Coach Kevin Griffin told me after the game too. He's like, you know, if there is a silver lining, it is that it was a non-conference game. It's still very disappointing to lose on Monday, but it was a non-conference game. So it's the conference schedule the rest of the way for the women, and starting off with a nice win on Wednesday puts them into an important game this weekend, playing at Lynchburg. There are right now four teams tied at 4-1, leading the conference, and a bunch of other teams at 3-2. But Lynchburg is one of those teams at 4-1. And the Hornets, a bit surprising this year. Although I don't know if Coach Kevin Griffin would be too surprised. They have a lot of talent on that team, including a very talented sophomore. And so they're one of the surprises in the league. And so that's where our women are playing this weekend. That should be a very exciting matchup there. I'm pretty sure live stats and video, both available online. 2 o'clock game on Saturday. So big one for the women this weekend. The men also getting into a very important part of their schedule, and they do it with a very exciting win. They led by double digits over the Generals Wednesday night, ended up having to win in overtime. So a little disappointing for Coach to have to go into overtime. They allowed the Generals to come back and tie it at the end, but they still came out. And that's one thing. You know, we're always looking for life lessons on the basketball court or on the soccer field, whatever. And the nice thing for the men is, yeah, they had a letdown at the end of regulation, but they came right back out, never trailed in overtime, and had a pretty safe win in overtime over the Generals. So it's nice to go for them that way into a busy stretch. They are playing three of the top four teams in the conference over the next three games. All three of them are receiving votes in the national poll. So a very busy stretch for our men. They're hosting Guilford on Saturday. 2 o'clock game. We lost to them at a three-pointer at the buzzer down in Greensboro earlier this year. So that'll be a great one on Saturday. They also play Hampton Sydney and Virginia Wesleyan next week, some of the other top teams in the conference. So big stretch for our men coming up as well.
Yeah, it will be a very important stretch, and both from the emotional, mental side, depending upon how they come out in wins or losses. Mm-hmm. With those, there's no doubt about that. Everything is focused on the conference tournament. Conference standings and wanting to get there. You're absolutely right. Some of us were commenting the other day about you were mentioning it, trying to get the crowds up to 1,000. We don't seem to have quite the following you had 3 years ago when that particular group was here. And I've been sort of analyzing what some of it is. I think some of it comes, it was all brand new, first time national rankings. Everybody's excited, all of this. Mm-hmm. Now it almost seems like people are coming with this expectation that we ought to be back at that same level again. And this team has been a little bit more on the inconsistent side, as you mentioned, giving away the game there at the end and then coming back again. There always seemed to be with that group about 4 years, 3 years ago, there was sort of a standard, somebody was going to pick it up, somebody was going to do it. Mm-hmm. It keeps you on the edge of your seat with this group because you never really know who's going to do it, if someone's going to do it. But that does create the excitement, and there's no doubt about it. We've mentioned over and over again just about how difficult this conference is and how you need to be sharp every game. I would say that's probably the thing that again, is the greatest challenge for a lot of the young athletes anyway, is there's just no way. I know Coach Griffin told me after the loss to Elizabethtown, he said that some of the players even mentioned it at the beginning in the locker room, something just doesn't feel right. We're not into it. We just don't feel into it. And there just is no way that you can go into any of these not quite being on your game. Mm-hmm. So whatever it takes to do that, and again, you talk about a life lesson, we see it as a game, but how critical, and it is only a game in the whole scheme of life, I understand mm-hmm. that, but how critical one loss is, that W&L. I mean, mm-hmm. with the men, if they don't, I mean, that's a team you should have won, mm-hmm. should have beat. You've got three coming up against the top three teams. You could suddenly be 0-4. Mm-hmm. So if you don't bring it that night, you can fall, and that has some real ramifications for the end. So, again, one of those lessons about how to be on top of your game every time. And we realize that can't happen every time for every person in our workplace. But certainly it's one of the lessons that I know coaches work really hard at to try to make sure that they are on top of it. So you're absolutely right. Very strong contest coming up. And everybody's getting into the whole flow of school as well. People are going to have to put all that together. Have stayed away from the injury bug pretty well this year. I would say that. I was thinking about it the other day when, I think it was 2 years ago, we had everybody on campus during the semester break, and I think something broke out, and it was like everybody was sick. And you remember that one?
Yeah.
and we just really haven't had that. I forgot to mention that at Royals Night last night is stay clean and stay away from each other. Let's not have that. So, well, if you're in the area, please continue to follow by coming out to see a game. There'll be a special feature next Saturday on the 19th. Hopefully check the webpage about that. That will be in connection with Martin Luther King Day, which is on Monday the 21st. We'll be doing something, a collection of some hygiene for hygiene kits that we're going to be putting together to distribute in the local community. You'll hear more about that a little bit later. So continue to follow us for sure. As I mentioned last, when we met with all the athletes, we introduced two or three new things that we have going on this semester, and we're really excited about them. Some of them you'll be able to take part in and understand. The first one is we've developed a program for selecting our own Athlete of the Week. Maybe you want to say something just a little bit about that, because it's going to run a little bit through your office and out onto the webpage.
Yeah, every week, of course, we're always nominating and trying to get someone to be the ODAC Athlete of the Week, but we thought it'd be great to recognize someone every week in our own department. So obviously it's going to have a fair amount to do with what we see from them on the playing court, playing field, et cetera, but it's also going to take a little bit of other avenues into account, including their academic standing and things such as that, and maybe leadership and practice. And so, of course, we want a chance to feature all sorts of people. That's what my office tries to do, of course, and that's what our department wants to do. But the thing is, you know, a lot of times, you know, with a conference player of the week, it's generally somebody who scored 25 points and had 10 rebounds and maybe hit a game-winning three-pointer. Well, that doesn't take into account, you know, maybe a senior captain who gets 5 minutes of playing time a game but is vital on the practice court and does a lot of things there. Maybe looking back at last year, Marley Young would be someone who would fit into this category, who's not going to win a conference player of the week, but is absolutely vital to how the team runs as a captain and does all sorts of things on the practice floor. And so we'll also be taking thoughts from the coaches because they're obviously a little more in tune with their teams and the inner workings. And so that's kind of what our EMU Athlete of the Week is going to be featuring a little bit more, just the broad scale of an athlete.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. There's a bulletin board at the end of our hallway that we're going to turn into the athlete recognition board as part of it. And between three of us, we'll make that decision on Monday afternoon, call the person in, give them their certificate, get a little write-up on them, and they'll be appearing on the webpage as well. Then we'll get that up. So that's one we are really excited about. Again, we are going to certainly look at the athletic performance, but we're hopeful we can get a little bit broader perspective on that. The other thing we're going to recognize is those students are doing a great job of balancing the demands of athletics with the academics. The school itself has a dean's list, of course. Everyone's aware of that, and that's a 3.75 or above, and that's done at the end of every quarter. We've determined that we're going to have our own athlete academic recognition group, and that's going to be everybody who has a cumulative GPA of 3.25 or above at the end of each semester. So it won't be just that semester's work, but it will be the entire body of their work academically, because again, any of these people here have played all the years that they've been here. So anybody with and I think there's this first time there's, is it 80? It's either 60 or 80 that have will be on there.
Very nice.
After this first semester, we'll be putting that up, and we'll also find a way to put that onto the webpage as well, so you can see that. So those are two special features in which we'd like to gain a little bit more recognition on campus for our own student athletes. Mm-hmm. Again, people see the scores and they know who these people are, but they don't always see the story behind it. So hopefully that can give a little bit more of it. Another one that we are going to do this semester is we'd like to give public recognition to all of our seniors who graduate at some venue, and we do have a senior awards banquet at the end, but a lot of times that's only for the athletes and their parents, and it's not seniors, and it's not seen by everyone else. So during the winter season here, when we have the most participation, unfortunately there just aren't a lot of people at a baseball game or a softball game typically, especially when it's 50 degrees, but during halftime of basketball games, we will be honoring seniors who will be graduating. And along with honoring them, we are asking them to invite a faculty member who has been instrumental in their whole educational process, to be along with them as we introduce them. So we're looking forward to that. We'll probably take the fall sports together at one game, and then we'll take the winter sports at another one, and we'll take the spring sports then. But it will all be done this winter during the time that we recognize, and we're going to get that information out to the student body and to the faculty and staff as well. So again, it's one of our ways to be able to recognize and to honor seniors, and also to recognize the connections between the athletics and the academics, which we believe is really important. So you will probably not see that necessarily on the webpage. We'll have a report on the banquet at the end of the year, but that's one of the other things that we're going to be doing. As I did mention, the ML King, Martin Luther King Day, we are looking at ways that the athletic department can be involved in some of the activities on campus here doing that. As I mentioned to them last night, when you begin to think about race relations, ethnic relations, religious relations back and forth between people, I believe the athletic field really becomes a melting pot for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's people from a variety of socioeconomic backgrounds, educational abilities, academic qualities, athletic talent, the whole nine yards. And it's all a group of people coming together and putting aside all those differences and heading in a particular direction of teamwork. So I can't think of a better way in which you can actually practice some of those things. So I believe that athletes ought to be very involved in that. We're going to be looking at a way to do that. And that's a whole topic we could go on for quite a while in terms of what happens on that, in that melting pot. And I guess I thought about it a little bit as I'm currently serving as president of Shenandoah Valley Athletic Club, and it's a local group here that meets just to support the collegiate athletes in this area. Usually we get a speaker to come in to talk about their experience, and it's usually been a radio broadcaster from the Redskins or from the Virginia Tech or associate coach from the UVA or something like that. And I shifted things up a little bit, and I've asked a senior athlete from Bridgewater, JMU, and EMU to come to this next meeting to share about the value of their sport for them. That's coming up in about a week, but I've had an opportunity to dialogue with those students, and it's just really been impressive, and it's going to be a lot of excitement, I think, just to let people see a different side of it. Of course, we're going to make a little comparison between a D1 who's on a scholarship and then someone who's two others who are paying for theirs. But we would like to, one of the questions I did ask them is to come up with specific lessons that they can think from their particular sport that they think is going to be impacting them in their vocation or their profession. So again, we look at all of these avenues. It's one of those things I go back to again, that I make a promise as a university to represent the athletic department anyway. I promise student athletes and their parents who are looking to come here that we will work together to use every help them to understand how important their athletic experience is to something they're going to be doing in their adult life. That's the promise we make. And we continue to work at that in every way. And you and I have just pointed out a few of those. So we are really excited about the second semester and some of the things that we have going on. We're continuing to work at our academic tracking to assist those kids. And we've identified those that we believe need some special assistance, largely because they're giving so much time to their sport. And the demands of the sport have increased such that we realize that some really need a balance and need to have that assistance. So we're working at that. Susan Kolb is going to be following, meeting weekly with some kids, biweekly with other kids. And all of our goal is to help retain all of those students. And we look forward to that. We think it's going to come out pretty well. So we are excited about some of the new things that are coming on and that we have to go. And I hope you can stay in tune with us as we do that. I want to finally mention that next week I will be attending the NCAA convention in Dallas, Texas. Again, that's one of the requirements that we have to attend that. There will be some legislation we'll be voting on. My goal is to record a podcast from Dallas next week. Susan Kolb will be there with me. Of course, the Commissioner of the ODAC would be there. We might have some others. So if all goes well with the technology, which, again, I'm very, very willing to share that I am technologically challenged. So we're going to see what we can do. But it will be a very interesting thing. There is not a lot of heavy controversial legislation going on. The only two that seem to raise some question or clarification is we will be looking at changing again the whole recruiting procedures. If you remember a couple of years ago, they weren't allowed to text recruits. Mm-hmm. Then we voted to allow them to text, but they couldn't use social networking. Well, now this time we're going to vote to let them use social networking. So, and it's interesting because the defense for voting for it has been, we need to stay current with what's going on, and students no longer read emails. So it's interesting to see that that's the way it was, and now they're saying sometimes they don't even they even ignore the text if they don't know who it's coming from, and they just let it go. So social media will now become part of it. The other one that probably will raise some question, they've started to work on already, is requiring students to declare on their physical exam form, their status regarding the sickle cell anemia trait. And it's something that is tested early on in life, but it typically hasn't been a part of the physical exam. So it's probably going to mean simply that it's going to, the athlete, we believe, is going to have to do a little bit more digging with their physicians to try to figure out where the results of that particular test are, particularly if they've changed physicians or if they get it done here rather than their home community. And it is something, I don't have all of the medical background on it, but it is something that has been increasing. And up until this year, you've been able to either say, no, I don't carry the trait, or I don't know if I do, and I don't care. So you could sign the waiver that way. But one of the other interesting discussions, two other interesting discussions we'll probably have, one is going to be on a recruiting calendar for Division III. Division I has a recruiting calendar, meaning there are certain dead periods in which coaches are not allowed to contact any prospective student athletes. There's no such calendar for Division III. And in an effort to try to bring life balance for Division III coaches, there is a move afoot to say, let's try to create a recruiting calendar. The other thing it hopes to do as a sideline would be to reduce the number of showcases and AAU tournaments and all this stuff going on that people are making bukus of money over to try to show these athletes to college coaches. So they're hopeful that if there's a dead period, then these people won't be organizing these things during that time. The flip side is the coaches will say, that's not going to make any difference. These people are making enough money. They're just going to pack them all into the only weekends they have available. So it will be an interesting discussion to see that. The other one that may come up a little bit will be some type of eligibility standard for Division III, much like they have at Division I, in which you need to pass the clearinghouse kind of thing. So should be exciting. Always good to be with our colleagues. Division, and I'm not going to give you all the background of how we operate. Division III operates very differently than Division I. But we will be down there in Grapevine, Texas. I hope to report back from there, give you a little update. We don't do our legislative voting until Saturday. I'll certainly tape it before that. So we'll go to a couple of educational training sessions and have some issues-oriented things, and we'll try to relate that to you. So hopefully you'll be able to hear from me next week from Texas. If not, James will be here with an update of what's going on. He might bring a guest in as well. Well, thanks again for joining with us this week for your inside look on EMU Athletics. And until we talk to each other again, I invite you to make it a great week.